Hello and welcome to the Post Status Draft Podcast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard, and I'm the editor of Post Status.
And I'm Brian Richards, and I run WPSessions.com. Hello and welcome, everybody. We have a lot of meta stuff to discuss today.
Oh, no. You did. Right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
So we're going to talk about metadata, as Brian just said. There are several development, like routes where things are going on from a core perspective that affect meta.
That's right. Two
biggest of which are continued development on the REST API and then new implementations. So we'll have longer lasting consequences for Gutenberg. And I thought it'd be fun to talk about meta more broadly, just because these newer posts are out talking about metadata in each of those miniature ecosystems. But metadata is a pretty complicated subject. It's kind of an everything zone, right? And Brian, you have a lot of experience in this realm. So do you want to kind of get us started with the landscape of how metadata works in WordPress?
I will. Yeah, I am very meta. In fact, most discussions I have about myself are about the discussions that I'm having about myself, just to give you a taste of how meta I am. All right, you're not laughing, so I'm going to move right along. So,
this is already throwing me back to the skin conversation.
Oh, man. No, we're not going to revisit that. So metadata in WordPress is pretty awesome. It's a very flexible API for anybody who hasn't really taken the time to explore it. There are a handful of core functions for interacting with metadata at a raw level, and it's looking for tables that end in meta in their name, and it makes it possible to have these alias functions for dealing with user meta and post meta and now term meta. But you could register your own set of meta tables and your own set of alias functions that all can use the inner workings of WordPress with very little code of your own written custom. Basically, you just add the wrapper functions, you call the main internal functions, and everything just works. And it's pretty remarkable. I did this on a project recently and was surprised at how easy it was to get my own custom meta tables up and running for content. But because of how easy it is to use and how well documented it is for people to work with metadata, it has created lots of problems for different site owners.
You said meta tables, but you mean just metadata in general, right?
Yes, to both.
So you did whole new tables for the metadata.
Yeah. So For one project, I wanted to have custom meta tables, but for most of the work I'm doing, I'm just working with metadata that gets put into the existing meta tables like post meta, user meta, term meta. And because of the extensibility that exists both with the core tables and with creating your own tables, developers like myself have often found themselves in precarious predicaments where the data wasn't really stored in an optimal sort of format. And this leads to interesting problems that the core team has been discussing with things like the REST API, because the REST callbacks will pull out all available meta for a piece of content, which could lead to some abysmal response times. Even if you add a parameter that was introduced in 4.9, where you explicitly say, I want no fields. So you say fields equals and then nothing. WordPress still has to generate every single field, and then it filters it out to remove it from the response. And so it still takes quite a while to ping the WordPress REST API for a given site if it has tons of meta for the particular records that it's trying to pull back.
So by default, metadata registration in WordPress can create a lot of cruft. Is that a decent word? But it doesn't, so it pulls out the available, but like when you actually, you have to save something in order to create that meta on the page, right?
That's right. And there's one other aspect that I skipped right over, which is that you can register, you can declare explicit support for the meta fields that you want to use for the different objects that you're working with. And for most of my career, I haven't done anything with this because it hasn't been relevant or useful. It became immediately relevant with the REST API because by declaring that these meta keys exist, this metadata that you're working with, it is immediately available inside of the REST API. But the way that people have been registering meta, turns out, is largely wrong. I learned this just today, courtesy of a post that you shared with me, Brian, on make.wordpress.org, where the core team is investigating and discussing better ways of handling register meta.
So can you give a brief overview? Because I'm not super clear on this. I use metadata APIs to help me out on things like the CMB stuff. I let Justin do the hard work.
Yeah. So before we dive into this article, let's unpack some of that a little bit. So I mentioned that I haven't historically needed to use register meta to declare the meta fields that I'm working with. I'm guessing for the most part you haven't either. And that's because you can just work with your metadata as you need it, however you want, without having to register support for it. The functionality is, simple enough and friendly enough that you can just say, I want to save this piece of data with this meta key. I want to get all of the data that exists for this meta key, regardless of whether or not you've used the register meta function whatsoever. And you just mentioned the CMB2 library, which I also love and use for all of my stuff. There are a few other libraries. I think Ally Interactive is behind Field Manager.
There's Advanced Custom Fields.
Yep, Advanced Custom Fields is a popular one. There are a bunch of libraries out there for making it easier to create meta boxes for handling all of this custom meta. And these have brought with them some challenges moving into Gutenberg because meta boxes don't really have a convenient place in this visual editor. And I would argue, nor should they, because the whole idea is to take what had been locked away in these custom-built meta boxes for rendering data on the front end and providing a better interface for actually seeing what that data is going to do and how it's going to appear. Nevertheless, you and I haven't needed to worry about using register meta or dealing with any of this because these libraries can do that for us, which has been pretty sweet. But there are some misconceptions around register meta, and Felix Arntz published an article. It was just 2 hours ago at the time of this recording, so it'll be a couple days ago by the time you're listening to this. And we've got it linked up here in our show notes. But the core team is contemplating more thoroughly the implementation of metadata, both with regards to the REST API and by extension, Gutenberg. And register meta, the very first parameter is which object you want to register this meta for. And if
meaning posts or pages or whatever.
Or a book custom post type or what have you. Except that's not correct. That first parameter is for the object proper. So posts as an object, users as an object, terms as an object. So it's looking for and not finding, if you said, for example, book is the example that Felix gave, it's looking for tables related to books, which won't exist because you've probably registered a post type named book and you're thinking
so
that
your book is a post still.
Correct.
It's a custom post type.
And so if you were instead to register meta for post, you might think that's correct, but it's registering that meta for every type of post. So it is now at least attached to the correct object, but it's attached to every post object, whether that's a book or a page or a post or whatever. And so...
And this is historically what it's expecting, right?
Correct.
So basically, if you've... And I've registered meta aside from one of those tools, but basically I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah, same. Me too.
So if you register meta for a custom post type within the book object, how has it historically figured out, hey, this goes on books and not some other thing?
So it doesn't. This register meta step isn't, like I said, largely relevant for how most of us are using meta, right? We're creating custom meta boxes and we're rendering fields for showing and editing that data. And then we're saving it to post meta. And then on the front end, we're calling get post meta or whatever kind of meta we're getting. And everything works regardless of whether or not you've called register meta. So right now, if you're using register meta and you're registering it to a book, it's not really helping your cause any. It's not necessarily doing what you want in the REST API. And if you register it for a post, well, now you've registered it for every type of post. And so it will appear in every API request, regardless of what the post type is for. And
to try to be a little more specific of why that's important is because it allows us, well, I said specific already, it allows us specificity within an object type to have a subtype. So object type being the posts table or the user table, and then subtype being like the individual post type or comment type or whatever you want to call it, whatever the object's sub parameters are, right?
Bingo. Yeah. So what they're exploring now, and by they, I mean the core team, and by the core team, I mean the people who are showing up to discuss this in the WordPress Slack, is, as you just said, an object subtype parameter that you can add with all of the other parameters that you're specifying when you register your meta, or it's going to be
And the big benefit we get there is now we're going to make less of a mess on all the other subtypes. So like every other post type within your posts table, you're not going to essentially clutter it up with these meta keys and stuff that you're just registering for one specific one.
Bingo.
The gist of it.
Yep. So now you can register your piece of meta for your specific post type, and that data will show up in the API requests just for that post type and not clog up the requests for every other type of post. And that is a pretty sweet deal. I would argue, and I would be wrong on this because I'm just boneheaded, but I would argue that pretty much everybody who's been using the register meta function has been using it wrong and expecting to say book in that first parameter and have it register for the book post type. And what I would like is for the behavior of the function to change so that that's actually the correct way, rather than now having to declare the object subtype as an argument elsewhere in the function. I know that's wrong because it is a breaking change, potentially breaking change for the people who have been using it correctly. And therefore, we shouldn't do that because that's just a bad idea. But man, It would be nice and easy if that were the solution.
Yeah. So I want to back up a step. And, when the REST API was being initially developed, and now with Gutenberg, metadata has been this sticky area for both of them. I think just because there's this fear of like what people are putting in metadata. So I want to talk a little bit about just in general, like the way we handle meta and why it makes it so tricky in these new tools. But first, I want to stop and thank our partner for the episode, which is Pippin's Plugins. I hope everybody knows what Pippin's Plugins is. They make so many good things and growing. They do Restrict Content Pro, Easy Digital Downloads, Affiliate WP, and all three of those actually work well together. And now they're even working on the Sugar Event Calendar plugin to make it another leg of the business. And they're one of those companies where when they do something, I just know that it's going to be really good. And the Sugar Event Calendar is a sweet and simple events calendar plugin for WordPress. So you can go to sugarcalendar.com and check out that. And I think that you'll continue to see a lot of development support going into that tool, and have maybe a simpler events solution than you've historically had. So I think that's a great tool. And then, of course, all of their others that they've been doing well for so many years, whether you need to restrict content or set up an affiliate program on your website, you can do it with Pippin's plugins. And go to pippinsplugins.com to learn more about that. And thank you to Pippin and team for being a PostSAS partner.
Booyah. They are awesome.
They are. So let's talk about the why metadata is scary. Because at least in the sense of trying to put structure around it, I guess, is it just because it's historically been such an unstructured zone? Are we a little nervous to try to assume anything about what's going to be there?
Yes. So this conversation came about as the REST API was being developed for a merge proposal, right? And people were worried, well, if you just start sharing all metadata for posts in every REST response, there could be some important private details there that shouldn't be available, right? For posts that might be exclusive content, things like that.
Intending to have that be private content.
Right. And
you could have customer data in the meta table that then the REST API exposes, because by default it just showed metadata.
Bingo. So the default approach for meta in the REST API was to exclude it. So no metadata is visible unless it has explicitly said, please show this in the REST API. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was definitely the right choice, because you can't know what 30% of the internet is stuffing in the site meta. So better to be restrictive and whitelist what you want to show than have to have all of those site owners and their developers come back through and explicitly blacklist all of the things that you don't want to have.
Yeah.
And there are some other problems with this, because for as long as I can remember, I think it might go back to the very first edition of WordPress, custom fields have been a thing that it supports. And custom fields have been powered by PostMeta. And the UI for custom fields has always been visible. And as people started developing their own custom meta boxes and providing better interfaces for saving this data, they didn't want their data to be duplicated inside of the custom fields meta box itself. And a convention that was easy to follow for this was to precede your meta key with an underscore. So if it begins with an underscore,
made it private,
it would make it private by default. But that data isn't necessarily private. Right. They just didn't want it to
could be display data. Yeah.
And so
WordPress still has what I would consider it to be quite outdated and unnecessary, but you know, it's there for a variety of reasons. The metadata box that is really intended for that, the original concept of metadata, which is just some random crap that goes below the post that you may do individually on a per post basis in your old school, you know,
live journal days. What am I currently listening to? What book am I reading? What's my mood?
You would just toss that in the bottom. And like a lot of things in WordPress, something starts as a very simple idea like that, and then we shoehorn, you know, e-commerce plugins into it.
Bingo.
Or whatever else.
Yeah, so we've got all this display data that has a key that would suggest that it's private, but it's not actually private. It's just we don't want this to be visible in the custom fields editor. And because of that, that was what led to the, well, we can't make any unilateral decisions about is this meta visible or isn't it, because lots of things that are visible are named to suggest that they shouldn't be. And this is one of the reasons I'm excited about Gutenberg sort of completely redefining the editor interface, because we'll finally be rid of that custom fields UI, and perhaps all of us can go back to sanely naming our meta fields without the preceding underscore. And
right.
Perhaps also all of us will now properly register our meta fields so that they're more easily accessible in all of these different use cases. I also wanted to pause because I have been mentioning Gutenberg here. There have been some misconceptions that Gutenberg means the end of structured data because all of your content, all of your data is now just post content, which makes it difficult, if not impossible, to try and query based on this additional data. And that is definitely not true. You can save the data for your Gutenberg block wherever you want, including post meta, and by default, into the post content area. So when you're creating your block, I think I've used a recipe block as an example more than once. You can have things like ingredients that aren't just text strings that show up in the post content, but they are perhaps even taxonomies, taxonomy terms that people are selecting from. Or you can have your cook temperature, and this can go in the post meta. So Gutenberg does not mean the end of structured data. In fact, I think it means bringing structured data into the forefront and then showing people how their structured data will appear in their post content.
Yeah, it just seems like one of those things where it's going to take a bit to get accustomed to maybe some added flexibility of structured data, if you will. Like you can pull in a module of structured data, or you could register it in a way so that it's kind of always there, right? So like
a template.
So it's kind of neat that like sometimes, you know, one of the things I think of the take a recipe plugin. So you may not have a recipe on every blog post, but if you want to create that structured data, you don't have to just always have the recipe meta box there. You can have it as a module that you pop in when needed, so that it can blend seamlessly into your blog post and not have to be like this custom post type or whatever else where you go and do that. So I do think, if I'm understanding it correctly, at least in how it will be structured, I think that's kind of nice, you know, because then you can have all different types of data and then keep them basically in the same area if they're all blog posts. You know what I mean? Now, if you want to, you do so many recipes that you want to do it in its own subtype, if you will, like its own custom post type, then you can do that too. But I kind of like the idea of essentially giving you more power without committing to like, here's my recipe meta box on every single page load where I'm possibly writing content, you know?
Bingo. And just to clarify, I'm not advocating against having recipes as their own post type, but even as their own post type, you don't need to depend on having a meta box because you can declare an explicit template for Gutenberg for that post type, and all of the data still gets written to meta instead of to post content.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that idea is kind of neat, especially part of me thinks this is really zooming out a little, but like maybe we'll have a renaissance of, you know, instead of everybody posting everything to a social network, like I love this idea of having my website as my home base and putting what I want on there. And that might be pictures, or it might be like a movie review, or it might be, you know, book information or a recipe. And it's kind of neat to me that you can imagine this concept of modules where you have these modules for those different things for a lifestyle blog or something. And you're not so committed to all of them, but you have this optionality to like pull in one particular block of information for one particular post, you know?
And bingo.
It gives me this renaissance event for blogging in a way.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Getting back to the kinds of things that people are stuffing in meta, I wanted to tie this back to the conversation we had last week about the GDPR. And
you brought this up before the show, and I had not even considered it. So this is a good point.
Yeah. So plugin authors are using metadata for all sorts of things, including perhaps things about site visitors. And this is one of the biggest challenges for a website owner who is trying to comply with the GDPR regulations. who has a number of different plugins for tracking all sorts of different things. How are we going to get that data back out again? And I'd argue that this is probably going to be the most difficult thing for you as a plugin author to sort through. I know historically, not talking about privacy things, I've run into a number of problems where the data that I was working with for a plugin wasn't where I wanted it to be when I wanted to access it in a different way. So a concrete example here, I worked on the BadgeOS plugin a bunch of years ago and was responsible for some of the bad design decisions for where that data was going. And then I needed to create a reporting interface to say, like, how many times has this badge been earned? Or who earned this badge in the last 7 days? And that was challenging because we were tracking the earned status in user meta. And so to get a report and to get an even more complicated one, which seems simple, let's show a leaderboard of people who have earned the most points in the last 7 days. At that time, points were just a number in user meta. This is how many points you have. We don't know when you earned them or how many you've earned in the last 7 days by extension. So I couldn't write that report until I started changing up how the data was stored. And I grew to appreciate, again, just how important it is to have somebody with a database architecture mindset on the team to think through these complicated decisions of what is the data that we're working with, where are we storing that data. And I would hazard a guess that most plugin authors don't have that experience and do have lots of data stuffed in lots of different places, including data about site visitors or site users that now needs to be exposed in some kind of meaningful interface for the GDPR compliance. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. And fortunately for you, those are lessons of yesteryear for the most part. And your job now is to help other people not make some of those same mistakes. But yeah, definitely from the pulling data and then querying it and all that kind of stuff, that's where metadata information gets supremely complicated if you didn't structure it very well.
Yeah,
basically. And I wanted with this podcast essentially to just get people's wheels to start turning and maybe check out those blog posts and contribute to the conversation about maybe how your agency or your product, if you do have either of those things, is managing metadata and how you need to be thinking of that in terms of how you're using it with both the REST API and within Gutenberg. And I think actually at the end of the day, and you know, some people have been nervous about how, like, don't forget us type of thing, like the people that use and rely on metadata in a big way. And I don't think anyone on either of these teams is doing so. And these are good conversations to get involved in if you have a vested interest. And I would assume most people that are professional WordPress developers of some sort are going to have a vested interest. So I thought it'd be a fun show topic for the day. But we are going to leave it there. This is a short show. We've got a hard stop, and we'll just leave it at that. So, Brian.
One more thing to add to that before we wrap it up completely. For those of you who do want to be involved in this conversation, there is a definite call to action to you. The core team is meeting on Thursday, May 3rd at 1 p.m. Eastern in the core REST API channel to talk about some of these metadata changes. And one of the things they're considering is the idea that I sort of shared earlier, sort of remapping the function so that you can use register meta with that very first parameter being the post type you want to support. But not exactly like that. They're talking about creating wrapper functions like register post meta and register user meta and register term meta, which I support completely.
Yeah, because it just makes it easier from a mental sense.
Bingo. So, definitely
your bingo count. You've bingoed on bingos.
I have bingoed on bingos in this episode. That's right. So, Mr. Krogsgard, where can people go to find out more information about post status?
Go to poststatus.com/club and go to make.wordpress.org. And the most recent couple of articles are about these two topics. And go to wpsessions.com for more from you. And you've got a WordSesh stuff coming too, right?
That's right. Yeah, I just finished announcing all of the speakers and as of today, the schedule is officially published as well over at wordsesh.com.
Excellent. And you used some metadata to deal with that.
I sure did.
All right. Y'all have a good day. We'll catch you next time.
Yep. Bye, everybody.